try the best you can. Best you can is good enough. You can try the best you can. You can try the best you can. Best you can is good enough. Best you can is good enough. Best you can is good enough.
Thursday night, and here we are again. This time, though, there's only two of us.
Dun-dun.
Jack, your host, Guy, and Riff.
And then there were two.
Riff, the guy named Riff. That's how you doing, me. Riff?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. You've been playing any video games or using any technologies lately?
I have been using a particular technology, this new device produced by Apple Computer.
Oh, yeah?
The iPad.
Oh, yeah? Are you sure you don't mean iPod, Riff?
No, this is bigger than an iPod.
Really?
You can tell because
iPods are pretty
iPad,
big.
Which is larger than an iPod.
Is a pad frequently bigger than a pod? Like, there's a notepad,
right,
which is bigger...
Bigger than a notepod.
Than an egg pod.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, sorry. A notepad is bigger than a seed pod, but a launch pad... No, wait, a launch pad is bigger than an escape pod.
Yeah.
Is a pod person bigger than a pad person?
Huh.
Or is a pad person just not actually a thing?
If it is a thing, I'm sure it's bigger.
Okay. How you feeling about your iPad?
I'm enjoying it. The games that are out for it at the moment are nothing special, but I think that's basically to be expected. And in 6 months, I'm sure people will have come out with all manner of interesting things. But in the meantime, I've got an ass load of comic books on there, and every episode of The Mighty Boosh, and Netflix streaming, and a bunch of PDFs of role-playing game source books.
Yeah, I was looking over your shoulder. You showed me how it worked as one of those, and I felt like with an 8.5x11 PDF, which I very much want the device that will allow me to read PDF scans of 8.5x11 books comfortably without having to constantly scroll up and down to read multiple columns. And I felt like it was just too blurry.
It depends a lot on the book, on the scan you've gotten.
Yeah.
So a lot of the books, like particularly the 4th edition D&D books, I thought are pretty good.
Those PDFs were based on like leaked proofs.
Yeah, you
though.
Can see like the color bars and shit in the margins.
It took less than 0 days for 4th edition D&D to become free on the internet.
Yeah, I mean it's slick, and the app that I got to read them, you can set your own bookmarks and everything, so you can just tap a button and tap your bookmark to go to the index or to the equipment list or whatever you're going to need at a moment's notice.
My experience of the iPad was that it was a little heavy. Not like
yeah,
no, no,
I can't
like
I can't
pan,
hold it in one hand for a real long time. But
it's weird because I mean, what else are you using it for? You know. I'm trying to make a joke about using it for porn.
Right.
And having to hold it with one hand. Although I'd have to hold it with zero hands, because it takes me two hands to beat off. Well, I have to beat off me and another dude.
I see.
Hey, speaking of which, I coined a new term for a sex act.
Uh-huh.
The frosted caterpillar. That's when you're getting a blowjob and you pull out and come in the girl's mustache.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I guess that could be useful for like elderly Russian men.
Elderly Russian men.
Yeah, because the old Russian women tend to be mustachy.
The old Russian men are capable of performing the action.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. I'm guessing that old Russian women probably don't give a lot of blowjobs. I don't know. I'm basing this on absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to create new racist stereotypes.
Yeah,
oh, more
yeah.
Russians.
Wow.
Those Russian women, they sure don't give a lot of head once they're 70.
Once they've grown that mustache.
Yeah. It's just all over. yep. So, you've been playing any video games?
Nothing of note. Messing around with some iPad games that have come out, and
you've been playing more Plants vs. Zombies?
Yeah, played some of that. It's weird. I like Plants vs. Zombies, but I can't play more than 3 or 4 levels in a row.
Really?
Yeah.
Boy, last year when it came out, I played it for hours and hours and hours and did not stop. Hmm. I couldn't and wouldn't and didn't stop. Did you ever like full on beat it? Did you ever get the gigantic gold trophy?
No, I got close. I got through like the first few levels on the roof.
Ah, I see. It was I don't know. It was fun. I felt like it was a good game. I don't know that I want to play it again on the iPhone. I downloaded a somewhat interesting puzzle game on the iPhone today, but I don't remember the name of it. I think it starts with AZ. Yeah,
that's helpful. Yep. And I guess I could put that in search.
Perhaps it's azcentral.com, your online source for all Arizona local news. Wait, that wasn't it. It was like you got like a hex grid with symbols in it, and then you draw contiguous lines of you match contiguous lines of symbols. Like you know, they can be like snaky. You just try and draw as long a line as possible of adjacent symbols, and then they like disappear and mark the tiles under them like Q-bert style. And then when you got all the tiles marked, then a piece of an artifact falls in from the top of the screen, and then you just have to destroy all the. Or you have to like clear all the tiles under it so that it can fall to the bottom so that you can collect it.
It sounds vaguely familiar.
Let me actually just pull my phone out of my pants here and look it up to see what it's going. Because it is actually pretty fun. I I almost never do this. Azkend.
Oh,
A-Z-K-E-N-D.
Okay. I believe I have that.
I saw a review of it. I downloaded the light version. I played the demo to the end, and then when it said, "Hey, do you want to buy this game?" I was like, "Yes," and I just clicked the button and went right to buy it.
There's a lot of interesting Match 3 and similar games like that going around, but I always just feel like, I don't know, like some of them are fun to play, but when I'm playing one, I'm going like, you know, this is fun, but I feel like there are games out there that would be more fun than this.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're like one of those dudes that's always waiting for a hotter girlfriend so he can get his girlfriend, right?
I don't know. That's not fair to the match.
Be here now.
Genre
if
games.
You can't play the game you love the game you play, Riff. You gotta live in the moment like a baby.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing about babies, it's been less time since they were inside a vagina. So that's a thing to envy about babies.
I was reading the bug report thread for Dwarf Fortress the other night, which is a good source of humor. And
doesn't
sound like it, but
yeah,
the one that has been coming up for people a lot is that they'll get a. In Dwarf Fortress, if one of your dwarves has been assigned a job but decides it can't do it for some reason, you'll get a little error message. And this message that was coming up for this guy was, "Dwarf baby cancels clean self. Reason? Too insane."
Huh.
Yeah.
They
had another bug report come out where it was revealed that the desert areas on the map were frequently reaching temperatures that were greater than the melting point of human flesh. So people's characters were just melting.
Does human flesh actually have a melting point?
I don't know. I guess it must, right?
I mean, it would crisp, but that's the thing. Like, oh, I overcooked the bacon and melted it. You know, that's not a thing that happens.
That's a good
point.
So,
I mean...
Yeah.
I feel like eventually, maybe it would become liquid, but I...
I guess, does carbon have a melting point?
I mean, it must. There must be molten carbon, right?
Yeah.
Or does it just... Does carbon sublimate?
Hmm.
When you vaporize some dudes. When you vaporize some dudes, is there a brief time at which they are liquid?
They're liquid. Well, it happened to those Nazis in...
In Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark, yeah.
No, in Inglorious Bastards.
I haven't seen that yet, maybe.
It's got a lot of vaporizing of Nazis.
Cool.
Yeah. Maybe if you put a Nazi in one of those marijuana vaporizers...
Mm. You could just inhale a lung full of delicious, soothing Nazi?
Yeah. Man, you'd get so... you'd get so baked. When Hot Stuff's not here to exert a calmative influence, we kind of go off the rails on that. Yeah, because there are things in the world that can stop me from making offensive jokes. There have to be, right?
You would think.
Just a thing, right? Like, maybe if my mom was here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Never developed that whole implied presence of your mom thing, you know, that made me afraid to swear or whatever.
The first time I swore was in front of my mom.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I, like, tripped on the edge of the carpet and fell on the floor and said, "Shit!" And then looked up at her and was like, "Oops." She was like,
How old were you?
I guess I was, like, 10 or 11.
Ah. Right. I remember when the Pretentious Artist and I first moved to Phoenix and we were looking for apartments, we were, like, walking up to the office and this little kid, it was probably 2 or 3, just, like, tripped, fell down on the sidewalk, caught himself and said, "Shit!" And then ran off. And we thought that was funny. Because it's funny when children cuss.
Yeah.
That's why I really want to see that Kick-Ass movie. Because there's a little girl who cusses.
Yeah.
I totally don't care. I don't want to... Seeing that preview made me not want to see that movie at all. The first preview about the little girl.
Yeah. Actually, I saw it the other way. I saw, like, the preview that was just the kid Kick-Ass and the sidekick or whatever running around. And I was like, this doesn't seem very interesting. But when I saw the preview with Nicolas Cage and the little girl... That made me interested to see it.
Huh. So, I hate little girls and you love Nicolas Cage?
I guess that's is what basically learned. What we can get out
Do you
of
also
it.
Want to see The Sorcerer's Apprentice? I can't tell whether it's going to be fucking retarded or not, is the problem that I have with it. I feel like it is one of those things that might be fucking retarded,
might be good,
and it might be
no
okay.
Idea. I read the comics of Kick-Ass the other day, and they were pretty good.
Oh, yeah?
So if it's a decent translation, then it ought to be a pretty decent movie.
I've been trying to read the comics of Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
Did you get those? Do you have those?
Not as...
Oh, you don't actually own them. You did not actually buy them. You just stole them.
I intend to buy them.
Right.
Next time I buy a bunch of comics from Amazon, I'm going to get them.
Well, next time you order a bunch of Scott Pilgrim books from Amazon, you won't get them for fucking weeks. I'm the proud owner of issues 1, 4, and 5 after having ordered all of them. Yeah. So
maybe we can get them at Comic-Con.
Well, they should be here in like a week.
Oh, okay.
That's what it said. I don't know. I'm like, Amazon Prime, you've betrayed me. You said that everything would be... I am almost certain that I have had it happen, that I have ordered something from Amazon in the morning, and it has shown up the same day.
Really?
Yeah. I've definitely had it happen on a number of occasions where I order something, and it shows up the next day.
Yeah.
Right? Even though it's like... So, you have Amazon Prime, right?
Yeah.
Surely. Somebody who orders as much stuff from Amazon as you.
I've never gotten anything that fast unless I deliberately paid the extra $3 for next day.
Huh. Yeah, it's weird. Because, I mean, there's a big Amazon disbursement center in Phoenix, right? Which I'm kind of curious about. Like, I wonder what it would take as just a dude to, like, see what Amazon's deal is. You know? If you'd have to get a job as, like, seasonal labor there, because I'm sure that they do that. Right, which would be kind of interesting, like to just get a shift to see what it's like in there and then leave. Of course, now that I've said that out loud, Amazon spies are everywhere and they're not going to let me.
I know that I read a article about Netflix once, and they're apparently their mail distribution and receiving centers are very secretive.
Huh. They're I don't know. They've got a lot of ideas, those Netflix people.
Yeah.
Their whole reward adequate performance with generous severance. That's their, they're like, only keep the people who are awesome. Everybody else, just fire and, you know, give them a good severance package, pay a normal wage, but, you know, if you only keep the people that are awesome, eventually your entire staff will be awesome.
Makes
That's
sense.
Their thing. I'm trying to think. I've been playing maybe, like, some Bioshock 2. Hey, when do you and Hot Stuff disappear up Valve's ass for 2 weeks?
I don't know. I signed up for the beta for the Mac version of Steam, but I haven't heard anything yet.
Oh, speaking of which, it looks like they were talking. I saw in like Rock Paper Shotgun that apparently press invites for the Cataclysm beta are coming out.
Ooh.
So they're talking like that beta is going to start pretty soon.
Yeah,
like they might actually release the expansion this year.
It is supposed to be this year, from what I've heard.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm pretty excited about not working for several months. I never do that.
Yeah, no, you're of all of us Warcraft addicts, you were the sane one, I think.
Yeah, I'm like the sick boy. I could just start and stop at will, just to piss everybody else off. But then my baby died.
Crawls across the ceiling.
Ah, that was cool. I had this one buddy who was all super freaked out by that scene, and so every time we were like leaving, there was this long period of time where all of his roommates were out of the country, and so every time we would leave, he would be in this big house, it'd be the middle of the night, we would just start talking about that baby. Like, oh, what's that noise outside? Oh, bet it's that baby from Trainspotting, like just to freak him out before we left him alone for the night. Ah, we were such pals.
I would say that's a funny definition of pals, but no, that's basically the exact same definition of pals I had with my friends back home.
Yeah.
So,
dude, you know, I feel like girls that are friends are mean to each other in really like sort of like sinister ways, and guys are mean to each other in just really dickish ways.
Mm.
That's what I think. Just to make sexist generalizations. Do you have any sexist generalizations to make, Rick?
Oh, I'm sure I do, but I can't think of any just off the top of my head.
See, you need to try harder. You need to just get in a mode where always what you're doing in your brain is making sexist generalizations. It's a good way to succeed in life, I've found.
Yeah.
Yeah, and tell a lot of funny jokes.
sexism and comedy.
Yep. Hey, there's a new Idle Thumbs today. But you know what? I didn't send them any emails, so I can't be as excited as I can never be that excited again, right? Like
that was cool. I actually skipped ahead in the list of Idle Thumbs just to listen to that one.
Ah, yeah. Hot Stuff won't do it. Hot Stuff is still like a year. And he was starting to talk about so the Idle Thumbs has been making me think about like GDC in San Francisco, right? And I'm like, oh yeah, are you listening to the new ones? He's like, no, I'm listening to the ones from GDC 2009.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm up to, five? January, February, March, April, 09. So I'm a year back.
Yeah, a little before. No, wait, when is GDC? GDC is in, like, September? October? No, it's in January. I don't fucking know. It just happened. The Austin one is, like, in the summer or something. But I guess Lycra met the Idle Thumbs guys. Says that they were adorable.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, Jake Rodkin, the Telltale guy, he said that there's somebody that works at Telltale that has the iClub Seals bumper sticker on the car. I stole your accordion one.
Huh?
But he doesn't know who it is offhand.
I see. Well, we should find out. I mean, I could send a message. If we're ever out there again, I can send a message to the private, like a private Twitter message. Because you can do that to people that follow you, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't fucking understand Twitter, man.
Yeah, I don't use it at all.
You should, man. We got a company Twitter. You could be saying stuff. You could be pointing at your blog posts.
I think I have posted on it a couple of times.
I know.
But
everybody's posted on it a couple times, and then me and Hot Stuff are the only ones that ever stick to anything. It's like we threw the entire staff against a Twitter, and Hot Stuff and I were the only ones that stuck.
Whenever I have something to say on the internet, it's usually not something appropriate for Twitter. I guess I could post like a link to a movie I found instead of, or in conjunction with, posting the movie on my blog.
That's what I'm saying.
But
you could just post a link to your blog post. You could write, I made a new blog post.
I could do that.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I sort of feel like anybody that watches our Twitter who would be interested in my blog probably already has my blog in their RSS.
I don't know if that is even a little bit true.
You don't think so?
Yeah. Because, I mean, our Twitter is posted on the front page of KOL, and that made a gigantic spike. Not even a spike. Like, we had, like, a few hundred followers, and then I posted it on the front page, and then over a few months it went up to, like, 3,700 or whatever.
That's
so
true.
I feel like there are a lot of people who maybe don't even know who you are, right? I have this discussion with Hot Stuff sometimes about whether or not I feel like most of the people who play Kingdom of Loathing, if you said Jick, they would not know that you were talking about the guy that was in charge. He says otherwise. The rationalization being that it says a very special message from Jick on the front page, but I don't feel like most people read that.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't get a sense, it's weird to think of the just like tiny, like the number of people that we interact with and the tiny minority of the player base that they actually represent. It's strange, right? Because only, what did that community survey yield last time that like 15% of the people use the forums?
Yeah, it was some crazy low number.
Right, and it's something like close to like 20 or 30% of people ever go into chat.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't know, man. I mean, I guess we talk about the staff in the announcements and stuff. I try to mention people by name whenever they do something especially cool. Although, I don't know. Did I talk about you when the Nemesis Quest rolled out?
I don't remember.
How's your new thing going?
The new thing that I'm working on?
Yeah, the new old thing.
It's coming along. I might take a little time off from it to do some research into puzzle structure. Because I was really impressed by the way the puzzles went down in Front's quest. And I feel like a lot of times when I'm trying to come up with a puzzle, what I come up with is either really straightforward, like this monster drops the key that unlocks this door, or something that is completely outside our usual game mechanics, like the torn strips of paper in the cave.
Hmm.
So I kind of want to think about that a little more.
You know, I don't know. it was interesting to me to see what, because Frenelet wrote that thing like a long time ago, and it was interesting to me to see what somebody else came up with as an example of something like what we did, mm-hmm. right? Because I felt like it was kind of, I mean, it you know, it was interesting, but I felt like it was kind of convoluted. I feel like I would probably not design something like that now that required, like, such an investment in an attempt. I think, you know, it's fine. Like, having a contest associated with it, having it be, like, basically a thing that you do once, you get this reward, and then, you know, it's not like a thing that's in the normal Ascension game or whatever.
Well, if you had been able to get more than one of, like, the Depilatory Cream at a time, then that would have made it easier, because accidentally wasting it is not as big of a penalty, because you have more of them.
But at the same time, being able to... So the conditional on the Depilatory Cream adventure just says, if you already have one, don't give it to you. Mm-hmm. Which makes it more likely that when you go in with the leg effects, that you're going to get the right non-combat.
That's true.
Right. So, so like there are a lot of places in that quest where a series of bad die rolls can cause you to have wasted a ton of time, right? Like, there's just this sort of, like, mean five adventure mirror, right? Which is like, oh, I felt bad while I was typing that. I'm like, God, if this was my idea, I would feel like kind of a dick. You know, as a one-off puzzle, like, that's the thing, right? We've got these sort of different methodologies that we use to approach different things, right? Mm. I mean, while I agree that your stuff, the Nemesis quest, I feel like mostly took advantage of existing mechanics, right? I mean, there was some stuff that was like, it was unlike a lot of the stuff that you work on, the Nemesis quest required new code to be written in the way that, like, the stuff that Scully writes requires new code to be written, which is like from, like, basically not exactly knowing how the mechanics work on the back end. Oh, this seems like something that we should be able to do, and it turns out that we can't and have to rewrite it, but it is very much like in the idiom of the game, right? Yeah. As opposed to just being like some one-off thing.
The big thing that I wrote inference-worthy, that I guess CDM is still...
Jeez, spoilers!
...looking at. I'm not saying anything about it.
No, it's... So, yeah. So, like, basically, when Riff got hired, we wrote up this thing on the whiteboard that's, like, this big diagram that's been there for, what, like, 5 years?
Yeah, something like that.
And it's the guild quests, right? And the only thing left is Fernsworthy.
Yeah.
The Fernsworthy line. The quest line that other class guy gives you. Good old OCG. Yeah, so that's it. And then when you're done, you're fired.
No!
You might want to stretch that out a little bit, I guess. We're gonna cut that down and frame it, I think, instead of actually erasing it and use it. We'll put up another whiteboard, but we're gonna frame it for you. Sorry, go on.
I was just saying if that ends up working, if it's actually comprehensible and CDM thinks it's possible, then I think that might be pretty interesting.
I don't think it's that big of a deal.
You think so?
From looking at it, I mean, it'll just be a weird script that has some state things, and it's got a lot of state in it.
It did seem very
KOL just from looking at it. You know. You know, I don't know how much I feel like you need to worry about it. I mean, people like the stuff that you do, right? And, like, and the fact that it's, like, different from the stuff that I do and different still from the stuff that Scully does, like, that's good, I think, right? Because it's, you know, there are, as they say, different strokes for different folks.
People did seem to be pretty happy with the Nemesis stuff. That was pretty pleasing.
Yeah. And, you know, it's the kind of thing that's, like, interesting across multiple Ascensions, too, because, like, it gives you the there's going to be more of that, too, one of these days. There have been a number of people asking, like, what we're working on now. Who is it? Like, Wolf V says, what's on the front burning about ready to be done, and how long till more sea content? We've got, like, relatively minor updates, although C.D. Moyer is working on an interface update that I think is going to make a lot of people pretty happy. depending on how well we do it. But I don't see any reason to expect it to not be done well.
Yeah.
You know, there's going to be, for the next month or so, I would say, just relatively minor, a little sprinkling of updates. Because my focus, and eventually sort of everybody's focus, I guess, if I actually start to manage things, is getting a bunch of the Uncle P's maps thing in the pipe.
I've been trying to think up more of those. I keep getting stuck on coming up with any kind of theme.
Really?
For them, yeah, or genre. It's like, because I'll think, okay, what's a genre that we haven't played with yet?
I mean, it could just be a different take on the same. I mean, I feel like most of what everybody else has done has been just different, sort of different approaches to the same kinds of things that we do. You know, it's like, oh, this one has some different kinds of hippies in it, you know, or whatever. You know, which, I feel like you're probably just overthinking it. I feel like you're psyching yourself out.
Probably.
You know, I mean, we never did, an ice cave.
Okay.
You know? Like, I mean, that's
easy,
like, just think about a video game and take away reason and accountability.
We should try and, start throwing level 11 fixes into dev so that the devsters can
yeah.
be testing those and balancing them and seeing what works.
Yep. It's weird, though. I don't know how testable they are as, like, a group, right? Like, I feel like it's gonna... If we've done it right, it's gonna be kind of... We're going to have to wait a while to see what actually falls out of it, right? For people to sort of explore different things, different ways of approaching it. I don't know, man. I don't know. Yeah, man, when I bought that fucking thing today, that app. No, when I downloaded the free version of it, the free app.
Oh, of Ascend?
Yeah. It was like, the terms and conditions of iTunes have changed. You have to read it and agree to it before you can continue. And it popped up this thing. And I was like, all right, God, this is like 10 or 20 screenfuls of shit that I have to scroll through on the iPhone screen. And then I get to the bottom, and it is page 1 of 92.
Oh, my God.
And, like, there's the notion that Hot Stuff talks about a lot, that, like, a defense against being held to the terms of a EULA is just read it.
Yeah,
if you just say, I didn't read it, I just hit the, you know... Then they can't hold you to it, which I really begin to wonder. Like, they had to have paid, some, you know, having dealt with some lawyers recently. Lawyers are fucking expensive, right? They had to have paid somebody. How much do you suppose it costs Apple to produce like a and not even 92 page, right? 92 pages of you know. A huge scrolled document on the. I mean, granted, it's a small screen, but you know, maybe let's say it's even 92 typewritten pages of legal documents. What do you suppose that cost them? $100,000, and no easily, one has ever read
probably.
It. There is no fucking way that anyone has ever read that document.
No.
Who would do it? Who would sit there, spend 10 minutes reading that page, and be like, "Oh, okay, I'm going to spend another, you know, 910 minutes." Reading the rest of this document of just legal speak. Like, what the fuck is wrong with us as a culture that kind of shit is just sitting there everywhere?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. I need you to answer this question. What the fuck is wrong with us as a culture, Riff?
Because we evolved from primitive territorial apes.
But this isn't like a... I don't know, man. I feel like this is moving away from that kind of thing, right? Like,
it's basically the same. Instead of throwing poop at each other, we're throwing ink at each other.
Throwing lawyers.
Yeah.
Throwing ink. Maybe if we ate more blackberries, we could use our poop as ink.
Ah, it would come full circle.
Yeah. I don't know about... I don't know if blackberries actually make your poop black. Pepto-Bismol. If we all woke up every morning and drank a bunch of Pepto-Bismol...
Pepto-Bismol makes your poop black?
Yes. It also makes your tongue black. Like, I woke up one day, having taken some Pepto-Bismol chewable tablets right before I went to bed, and the inside of my mouth was just like jet black.
Wow.
My entire tongue, the entire inside of my mouth. Yeah, and if you read a bottle of Pepto-Bismol, it says a significant but harmless darkening of the stool may occur.
I want a t-shirt that says that.
Yeah. Somebody sent a link in when I was talking about the Ghostbusters shirt to that 80stees.com website. I had to hold myself back from ordering a bunch of t-shirts.
Oh yeah.
Today. Yeah. There are a lot of there's like a this cool Dragon's Lair t-shirt that's just like the skeletal Dirk the Daring with Game Over written underneath it.
Oh, nice.
Which I would like it better if it didn't have Game Over written underneath it, if it was just skeleton Dirk the Daring. But he doesn't have legs, right? Because it's just the torso of him, so the picture has to end at something. Okay. Right? So, but it could just end at a border, you know.
Yeah.
Some other people talking about, you know, yes, you get talked to when you wear a Ghostbusters shirt. Who knows? And oh man, I linked this in Dev, so you saw it. But who was it that sent in? Let me show. Shadowlink writes, this tool-assisted speedrun explains the NES Zelda 1 item algorithm, and then links to this crazy, like, it's one of those, it's like a movie. Like one of those input movies that you put into a NES emulator with the game playing, and then it just runs will do a person's speed run just using the actual game code, which means that you can like post a speed run movie that's like 13K in this particular case, which is handy, but it's a big pain in the ass for somebody to actually watch it. I feel like the competitive speed run NES community is pretty small and pretty intense and probably kind of insular, and they all know
especially
how that kind of stuff
the groups,
works.
The subgroup of them that does the really elaborate hacker runs.
Yeah, the tool-assisted runs, yeah. So anyway, it explained this document, and thank you so much for this, because I feel like it is possible that I would have been able to figure this out, because I had been spending a little bit of time here and there trying to figure out how the thing worked. It's possible that I would have been able to figure this out, but I'm really glad that I didn't have to. And there were some little vagaries of it that I did not, that I never would have figured out. So basically, I had figured this part out. When you kill a monster in The Legend of Zelda, it will either drop an item or not drop an item, depending on what frame it is. I was thinking of it as like a timer tick, which I guess is the same thing, right? Like, there are some frames where they will drop an item and some frames where they won't. I don't know, like, what percentage of frames they will drop an item in. That would be kind of interesting to know. Yeah. But if you kill a monster on a particular frame, it will drop an item. Which is why, and I had never noticed this, but it's totally true, that if you, like, shoot your sword and hit three monsters if you kill three monsters with the same sword blast, or if you blow up a group of monsters with a bomb and kill them all in the same frame, they will all drop an item.
Yeah.
They will either, none of them will drop an item, or they will all drop an item. And that's totally consistent with my experience. Looking back, but I don't know that I would have like figured it out, right? I was just like, ooh, bonanza, you know, and like every time it was exciting. So the item that they drop is determined by given this thing. I don't want to just read this. I'd like people to see this. So the URL, if you're interested, is tasvideos.org/2091S.
You could retweet it.
Yeah, I could retweet it. I will just retweet it. It's a capital S and .html. Yeah, fucking reading URLs. What am I thinking? I think I will post it to the Twitter, maybe during the break. All right, so what they drop is determined by two factors. One is the type of monster that they are, which this made sense, right? Because you knew that, like, Red Octoroks never drop bombs.
Right.
Like, you'd get bombs. You know you get bombs from the Gorias. You know,
because they appear way too before you could get bombs anyway. So,
well, I don't think anything prevents you from getting bombs early. There's, like, a shop fairly early on where you can just buy them for, like, 20 rupees or something. Mm-hmm. You can just buy a bomb.
It's been a long time since I played the original one.
And I feel like there are also there are blue dudes. What's weird, though, is that, like, how does this work? Like, the Red Octoroks are weaker than the Blue Octoroks, but the blue levers use the same drop table as the Red Octoroks, and then the red levers use the same drop table as, like, the blue Tektites.
Hmm.
Remember that commercial?
Oh, yeah.
Octoroks, Tech Tights.
Tech Tights! Zelda! Zelda! Zelda!
Yeah. God, that was a good commercial.
Yeah.
I just wanted the game so bad. It was so weird, but I wanted the game so bad from seeing it. And I still remember the drive home, because where I grew up, you had to drive, the only places that sold Nintendo games were like an hour or an hour and a half away. Mm-hmm. And I remember the drive home from getting that game, just like reading the manual over and over and over again in the car, just like couldn't wait to get home and play it. So good.
I had that reading the manual in the car experience. I remember that.
So there were there are groups of enemies. All right, the enemies are divided into, like, five different groups. And some of the groups are a little weird. So it's like Red Octorok, Orange Tektite, Orange Goria, Blue Lever, Blue Wizrobe in the, A group, right? So then there's a B group, which is more of the small enemies. And then, there's a C group, which is, sort of later. Although the skeletons are in the C group, too, the regular Stalfos. Hmm. I remember, I don't know exactly how this worked, but Paul's voice, the weird rabbit head thing, there's a thing in the manual about its ears, right, and how it's got big ears, and so it's especially sensitive to sound, and then, the only thing it's weak to is arrows, which is weird. Mm-hmm. There was supposed to be some interaction between them and the whistle, but it got removed from the game after the manual was printed.
Did it?
Oh. Yeah, or maybe in the Japanese version that was there. I don't know the exact story of it, but I found that out years later. All right, so different enemies basically share... They have one of five drop tables. And then what drops is determined by the contents of this one memory register that just increments every time you kill an enemy. Right? So basically, the next... if you're just killing a bunch of Red Octoroks, if you kill the Red Octorok on the right frame, it will always drop the next item in the cycle. And so the cycle for that group of enemies is rupee heart, rupee fairy, rupee heart heart, rupee rupee heart. And then it cycles through. Apparently there is a way to override that, which there's another register that goes up by the number of enemies you kill but drops back to zero if you get hit. So if you kill 10 dudes without getting hit, the item in the chart, the item that would normally drop, is overwritten by a good item, which is either a 5-rupee piece, a bomb, or a fairy.
Okay, I must not have read that article close enough because I missed that.
Yeah, it's weird. It talks about it after the drops, right? So basically, if you're doing well, you get better drops.
Hmm.
And if you kill a bunch of dudes, I was the reason that I wanted to know how these drops worked is because it never seemed like a big deal to me. Farming stuff in the original Legend of Zelda. It's like, oh, I need bombs. I know that I need to go kill. And I had generalized, I need to go kill some blue dudes if I want some bombs, right? Because blue guys are going to drop bombs, and that makes sense. And it's not exactly like that, because it's like the orange moblins drop bombs, the orange darknuts drop bombs, the orange wizrobes drop bombs. There's only one of the groups of enemies that actually drops bombs. But the rest of the guys in the group are blue. I mean, I guess most of the enemies are either red or blue. So there's just as many blue guys in the other groups, I suppose. But mainly when you're farming bombs, in my experience at least, you're gonna kill blue Octoroks and blue Gorias, right? Or are those moblins? Maybe I'm getting moblins and Gorias mixed up.
I don't remember what Gorias are.
No, Gorias are the boomerang guys. Moblins is what I'm thinking of. But the Gorias are the guys with spears that are out in the woods.
Oh, okay.
Areas. So yeah, you kill some blue guys, and close to the start area, that's totally true, because the blue guys closest to there are the blue Octoroks and the blue Gorias, and so they're going to drop bombs. Apparently, if you kill a lot of them without getting hit, you're more likely to get a good item drop. You're more likely to get a bomb from those guys. So if you're doing a good job of farming and not, wasting hearts and stuff, then you're just going to get a bunch of bombs fairly quickly because of this sort of unless you get unlucky. That's the thing. The frame thing is weird because that is very much just a traditional chance of this item dropping. But I don't know. I'm curious as to what the chance is. They must know, and they just haven't posted it here. Hmm. But this article was super interesting. Thank you, Shadow Link, Because, I don't know, to me, at least, this was like, this is exactly what I was looking for, and it never would have occurred to me to look in this arena. The speedrun video was not actually all that interesting to me, because it's just a lot of, like, weird, glitchy behavior. Like,
yeah, it sounds like it'd be way too hard to follow what was happening.
Nah, well, there is some kind of bug where the quickest way to move from the bottom of a screen to the top of a screen, if there's exits in both the bottom and the top, is to do some kind of glitchy thing where you can walk through the bottom of the screen and reemerge on the top up in the status bar area, and then walk just down to the top of the screen and then flip a bitch and scroll upwards. So it's just, it's obnoxious to watch, because you're like, that's not Link moving around. And they also figured out, like, because of the way the movement works, you're able to shave a few frames off here and there by doing this weird, like, sort of diagonal stepping thing that makes you move quicker.
Hmm.
And they do a ton of stuff that is, like, typical speedrun fare, like, oh, turn around real quick and bump into a guy so that being damaged knocks you backwards faster than you can walk.
Right.
You know? Like the Castlevania speedruns are always, like, getting hit by enemies to, like, skip over a place where,
just
like, there's two levels.
Backwards dashing across the entire screen from levels and levels.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stuff that is faster, but not fun to watch.
Yeah. And has got to be just god-awful to actually do.
Yeah.
Well, we could look at some Radio Bun Burger questions.
We could do that. Radio Bun Burger.
Bitburg. Let's see. I read this last time. Read this other stuff. Ziggy Zagnut wrote, "Hey guys, the text in Uncle P said in limited supply. Does that refer to the total number of items available, or does it refer to a time limit? Also, love the April Fool's content. Vampire Bird for the win." These questions are like 6 days old. like peas porridge.
Yep.
Weren't we just talking about peas porridge today?
Yeah.
Because you were eating. It was yesterday.
I was eating kind of soup.
You
I
were
think
eating.
That was yesterday.
Riff just eats. He just opens a can of, like, Campbell's Chunky Soup, and then just eats it.
Just eats it.
Right out of the can, without heating it up. He uses a knife.
I don't use a knife. That would be silly.
Fine. You drink it through a straw. You eat your soup with chopsticks, and that's why you can't heat it up, because it gets too runny.
Yep.
So clearly Uncle P's, as the fullness of time has revealed, is, there's just going to be one map in there, and it's going to change. In general, the plan is to do it, like, mid-month, like, kind of staggered from the item of the month release, and for them to last 1 month. With Frontalots, we did it a little different. The previous one wasn't in there quite as long, and this one will be in there a little longer, because we needed it to correspond with the release date of the album. Gragaban says, "This might be a little premature, but I think the baby bugbear is my favorite familiar ever. Thanks, guys." Yeah, Riff did a pretty good job writing that stuff.
Thank you, and you're welcome. That was fun to write.
Severus wrote, "First, the baby bugbear is amazing." I already read this. He suggests that we be able to combine a Naga hide and some sake to get Naga sake.
Yes.
How do you pronounce the name of the third hat?
I just say the third hat.
I think that's what I've described it as too, just the third hat.
Yeah.
Because it looks kind of like bairn tacked.
It is, yeah. If you want to be technical, the gibberish encoding translates to bonnet with some extra umlauts and stuff. So people have been saying bugged bonnet on the forum.
It does?
Yeah. Well, nearly. There needs to be an extra A tilde in there, which I had to leave out because it was too long for the name field.
Oh. Okay. Missing No says, "Warning, unexpected Spanish Inquisition in bugbear.php, line 1338. Every Spanish Inquisition is an unexpected Spanish Inquisition. El Accordionachi says, "I love today's content, and I am forced to request April Fool's Core, please." Demolidi says, "Bruise Jaw is my favorite effect in the game. I hope the tiny costume wardrobe keeps acting the same way on the item of the month after today. It's great." You know what I don't remember is if I actually put the fake familiars in the regular rotation or not. I certainly intended to. A lot of people talking about jaw bruisers lately. for whatever reason. Ice Light says, I love the familiars for today. Eric Draven 26 says, I don't care what the diamonds say. April Fool's Day kicked ass this year. Thank you.
Woohoo.
Baron Von Bick Penlord says, how do you feel about the healthcare law? I don't know anything about what's going on. Just stopped paying attention. I mean, it is unlikely to affect me because we are already a company that provides health insurance for our employees, and we're...
You might start getting a tax break because of the size of the company.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Because the size of the company is very small.
Yeah. Well, because it is a small company for which you are providing insurance.
Yeah. Stupak2 says, just roll them now! But they're not even close... They're not even a little bit coded.
What's that?
The level 11 tweaks.
Oh, yeah. No. They definitely need to have some thinking done to them, because the entire list of things almost are entirely, like, straight off the top of my head, going like, all right, here's the list of things that people complain about. What is the thing that could fix each one of these? And I wrote them down. We haven't done much more with them than that yet.
Rotting Flesh says the Ultimate Legendary Epic Accordion doesn't seem to work for the Mariachi's bug or feature. I'm saying that's a bug. I'm going to put that on the list of things to write down. This thread is getting fucking ridiculous. I need to, This is as long as, iTunes' terms and conditions document. There was something else from the Radio Bugbear questions that I wanted to put in, and it was... Oh, right. It was whether or not... I had put the things in the tiny costume wardrobe, which I'm also going to note to myself. All right. Spoon Man, again, talking about his breaking into his house with the paint rollers. Did you look at his link, Riff?
No, I didn't.
Pretty clever. Glasses says, did you guys have a favorite April Fool's joke from the internet this year? I didn't really pay a lot of attention to what other things were doing.
The World of Warcraft one was kind of funny.
What was it? I didn't really...
It was like they had an elaborate acronym for some statistic monitoring thing that spelled out to EPEEN, and the idea was everybody would have a vertical blue bar above them that would grow the better your gear was.
I see.
And basically it was a large article about this with lots of double entendres.
Hmm.
Okay, I know what the best one was. The best one was the League of Extraordinary Gentlemen 1988.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
Who were they? It was like...
It was Doc Brown and the robot from Weird Science and B.A. from A-Team and MacGyver and a couple other people. I don't remember.
And Kurt Russell from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, yeah. And... I don't remember who else. Somebody in the Metafilter thread suggested that the villain for that book should turn out to be Ferris Bueller.
I would like to actually see that comic. I want that to be a real thing.
That would be very awesome.
Well, we should maybe do one of those music break kind of things.
Music break. Break, yeah. Break.
I'm not going to put that song on there, though, because that song is too long. We're going to listen to some... some ZZ Top.
Because well, right.
That's how we roll here. We'll talk
long
to you in 10
beards.
Or 11 minutes.
What you
ZZ Top. If there's any band later in the alphabet, I don't know what it is. Do anything exciting during the break, Riff?
I got another Dr. Pepper.
I stared off into space and I drank some more of this beer.
Rock on.
Yeah. That's what I do a lot.
I'm moving some more comic books onto my iPad.
Moving more comic books onto your iPad?
Yep.
Like just stacking comic books on top of your iPad to hold it down so that it doesn't blow away?
That's right.
See, that's funny because the iPad is heavier than a number of comic books.
It depends on the number.
Like I put some Kleenex on top of my anvil so that it wouldn't blow away.
Right, right.
That's equivalent to what you just said. Why are you saying things that don't make any sense?
I don't have anything clever or funny to say to that, I'm afraid.
Riff.
It's nearly my bedtime.
I know, you're on an almost normal sleep schedule.
It's weird.
What the hell is going on with that?
I have no idea.
Panacea Balm says, so, is Grandma ever going to wake up? Yeah, the next, like, big thing is the finishing the underwater stuff. A lot of work has already been done on it. A lot of art is already done. Like, there's a tremendous amount of stuff that is already done for that. It just, you know, we need to finish it. But, like I said, this month, focusing on getting more of these maps ready to just have in the pipe. Some other things to put in our pipes and smoke.
Yep.
Tiny Plastic Grimmy says, I was wondering if you considered a mechanic to make slush balls out of the snowballs. Meat paste snowball plus brick or cooking two snowballs? What would a slush ball do in-game that a snowball wouldn't? Oh, I know. It could, like, give people, like, a negative effect and take a bunch of their hit points away.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Everyone will like that.
Watertail says, Riff, a while ago you mentioned buying a new shell for your DS. Where exactly did you buy it? My hinge just broke, and I was wondering if you had any tips.
Not really, because the one I bought turned out to be pretty shitty. The screw holes were not the proper size for the screws, and it was basically a big clusterfuck. So, even if I could tell you where it was I got that one,
I hate it when the screw holes aren't the right size.
What?
I said I hate it when the screw holes aren't the right size.
I know, right?
Or like when you're in Asia and they're like sideways. Yeah, I feel like you ruined a DS, right?
Yeah, it was, because the situation I had was that the touch sensitivity of the bottom screen was becoming misaligned and poor. So I was like, well, either I buy a new DS or I attempt to install a new touch screen on this one. And if I try and install a new touchscreen on this one, then I can also install this sassy-looking transparent blue case. So I took the gamble and attempted to do that, but it ended up not working, and I had to buy a new DS anyway. But it was interesting. It was a fun project to do, because I'm all about dismantling things.
Like Johnny Five.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that show, what was it called? Explorers? Maybe?
Doesn't ring a bell.
No, I forget what it was called. I feel like it was like a PBS show. We've had this discussion on the radio before. It was about, like, this time-traveling dude who had this, like, pocket watch that let him travel through time.
Oh.
And he picks up a kid out of, like, a New York apartment in, like, the 80s, and then that kid travels through time with him, and the name of the device that he's using is the Omni,
yeah,
and it's got a green
that.
Light and a red light, and they go to some era of history, and if things are fucked up, the light is red, and they can't leave until they make it green. It's like a quantum leap kind of thing. I know we've talked about this before on the radio, and somebody has pointed out what the name of the show was, and we've gone over it.
Oh, really? I don't remember. Maybe it was a Skullhead show or one that I wasn't on, because I don't remember us talking about that.
I will always remember.
That's
there's
the
an
first
episode
time
where
I've thought about that show in fucking 20 years. Probably.
They visit Thomas Edison, and they come into his like workshop and realize that he has like completely disassembled their time travel device. So they're like, "Fuck!" And then he's like, "I can put it back together." And they're like, "Oh, cool." He's trying to figure out how the lights work. Like, they have to help Thomas Edison invent the light bulb. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that show was any good, but I remember liking it when I was a kid. I feel like maybe it was called Explorers, but then I think that isn't that the name of that River Phoenix and Ethan Hawke movie where the kid like has the dream about the circuit board, and then when he builds it, it creates like a force field thing, and they use it to make a spaceship out of a tilt-a-whirl car.
Oh, I don't remember that one at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like I fucking loved that movie when I was a kid. Huh. Yeah, it's like Ethan Hawke keeps having this dream that he's like flying over this like Tron looking circuit board, and he keeps waking up and drawing it, and then he eventually takes it to River Phoenix, who's like the nerdy German kid named Wolfgang, and he builds it, and it just creates and allows them to control this little sphere of force that then they realize they can build a spaceship inside.
Oh, weird.
And then it gets really, really stupid at the end because they go up and they meet these aliens, and all the aliens know of human culture is based on like television signals, and so they just speak in like pop culture references.
Oh, like the dudes in the Transformers cartoon movie.
I don't know.
The motorcycle dudes, the leader was voiced by Eric Idle.
Mr. Skullhead insists that I should like it because it, like Shrek, is exactly the kind of shit that we do, but I am like, ugh, I don't want to be like that.
What, Shrek anymore. Is?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I've never seen Shrek.
I saw both Shrek and Shrek 2, I think, or maybe just Shrek.
I avoided them for two reasons. The first being that every computer-animated movie I have seen that wasn't done by Pixar made me wish I was watching a movie made by Pixar. And secondly is that I refuse to, generally speaking, I refuse to see any movie that has a fart or poop joke in the trailer.
Huh. But does that mean that you're going to miss out on Alvin and the Chipmunks?
That is
they
a
actually
movie
eat
that I did
poop
not
in
see.
The trailer.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah. What about, like, I feel like James and the Giant Peach was pretty good. Who made that?
I think that was a Henry Selick one.
I don't know. I mean, that's not Pixar.
Oh, okay. Well,
I'm just trying to come up with counterexamples.
Was James and the Giant Peach...
Was it computer animated,
was it
or was it, like, stop motion?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
I feel I like it was a stop motion, although...
Maybe it was. Because Coraline was stop motion, right?
Yeah.
They can do so much in post.
Yeah.
I watched this movie on Netflix streaming. So somebody was talking about, somebody linked to that like nine songs or nine shows or whatever. It was like, here's how you can get some porn on Netflix streaming. And it was like, it's just this movie with these people just fucking for the entire movie.
Oh.
And so I was like, I want to see. Because Mr. Skullhead was like, oh, I don't want to watch this dude go to terrible concerts and then fuck his ugly girlfriend. And I'm like, huh. And I watched it and I'm like, you know, that girl's not unattractive. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with Mr. Skullhead. I think maybe because Mr. Skullhead is into dudes, he thinks that any girl who is not a dude is unattractive.
Ah.
I think maybe that's what's going on. So now, one of the things that Netflix uses to recommend movies to me is steamy. So one of the steamy movies that it recommended to me, because I like both things that are steamy and documentaries, it recommended this film has not yet been rated, or this film has not been rated.
Oh, okay. I've heard of that.
Which is just like a documentary about the MPAA.
Right.
And it was like, all right, I can understand how this situation would be really infuriating to the kind of guy who makes documentaries about things that infuriate him, you know? Like, and, you know, it was interesting. There, I forget exactly why I was talking about this. I can kind of recommend watching it, I guess, if you want to know about the MPAA. It's like sort of him being a jerk, and so the MPAA doesn't tell you who the raiders are, right? Uh-huh. They keep it secret, and so it's like they keep it secret and they sort of lie about it. They're like, you know, these are people with young children and they serve on the board for like 3 to 5 years, right? And then what he does is basically like hire a private investigator to like, you know, sneak around and figure out who these people are, and then he just like follows them around like taking pictures of them and posting their names and stuff. He's trying to demonstrate like, you know, all these people, most of their kids are like in their 20s, right? And they've been doing this for like 10 years, right? So it's just bullshit that they're feeding us. But it's also like, you know, these people just have jobs, and now you made a documentary where there's just like a picture of them like you know, drinking coffee at Starbucks, and like, I don't feel like doing that should be against the law, right? Because I don't want to write a law that that is against, but it's, it just kind of makes me think the guy's a dick.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. The process seems like it must be super frustrating, the rating process for a movie. Like, and it was weird, like, so they had some interviews with Kevin Smith, who's, like, experienced it both as an independent filmmaker and as a major studio filmmaker, and it's like, they talk about how the process is exactly the same, and it's just totally not.
Yeah.
And, I don't know. It's just, it's one of those things that I guess you could extend your thinking about it to a point where you were just like, well, I'm really angry that there are effectively so many monopolies in our, you know, like, these five or six companies that are totally in collusion with one another control, like, 95% of American media.
Yeah.
And, coincidentally, that's about the percentage of American media that sucks. So, maybe there's something there. What Russer Butter says, so on the pirate insults, is there a way to see which insults you've learned? No, but there should be. Every time I look at it, I encounter some, like, sort of immediate obstacle that makes it not particularly easy to do, and so I'm like, oh, I'll do it later. And then that's been several years. Russer Butter also says, also, Bruised Jaw is still funny. I agree!
Yep.
Every time Krovax uses one on Gamelli, I laugh and laugh and laugh. And then I'm like, I wish I knew what Gamelli had just said. Thunder Girl says, what's the reasoning in the 200 turns cutoff on rollover again? I don't know if you've considered it, but it's one of the things that makes casual players burn out. By not playing the game daily, you lose the adventures and so are forced to log on daily to spend turns. Otherwise, you would get a feeling of losing out. I would argue that casual players are not going to get that feeling of losing out. I don't know that I really buy your argument about you burn people out on the game by forcing them to play every day if they're not going to lose turns to rollover, because that is not what loses you the most turns, right? You have to play every day and eat food and drink booze if you really want to get the most turns that you can get, and skipping a single day, you're going to lose so many more turns to not eating and drinking than you do to that rollover turn cutoff. You know, it's just... It's there because I feel like 5 days worth of turn accumulation is about the amount that I want you to get without logging on, you know, yeah. And then that's where it stops, right? So,
I mean, otherwise somebody's gonna, I don't know, log on and find that they've got 5,000 turns to
right,
play.
Which would absolutely be a way of burning out a casual player.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah. Nightval says, if you're concerned about the Mafia painting maps is that they're quest items because someday you might pull one, why can you pull the painting? Pulling the painting equals pulling the map, thus making the map a quest item doesn't solve the ascension relevance issue because you can still pull the map via the painting. Paintings just run out someday, which is no fun. No, you missed the point of what I said, Nightval. The idea is that we want the potential for these to be ascension relevant, so we want them to be in limited supply. The fact that paintings just run out someday, which is no fun, to you know, that is fun to people who like to collect things, and it is a way of creating items that are going to increase in value and be interesting in the economy, right? I feel like it's not going to be a big deal anymore because they're going to be crazy, crazy over-invested now that people know how it works, right? The landscaper one, there are not that many floating around, and there are not that many people, you know, the item that you get from it is not that big of a deal. But the one that I'm working on now, actually, I'm kind of trying to make it a thing that might be worth pulling in a, you know, it would certainly be worth pulling to make a softcore run more interesting, maybe not necessarily, like, optimal, but, you know, I'm trying to skirt the line, and I'll get some feedback from people on whether or not it would be good, but that, I feel like, is pretty interesting. Like, the idea of some limited time availability zones that, you know, think of it as a world event that lasts a month but leaves seeds of itself behind, right? You're not going to say, like, oh, well, you know, Crimbo ends someday, which is no fun. You know, you wouldn't say that, right? So think of the availability of these, they're not all paintings, but think of the availability as these maps as one-time events that are slightly more, permanent. Than one-time events.
Yeah.
Black Sand V says, the title track of Joanna Newsom's Have One on Me album nearly rivals Emily, in my opinion, anyway. I listened to it a couple of times based on this advice, and it's not grabbing me the same way. I wish that I could just make everyone understand why that song is good so that people would stop being mean about it. GreenN72 says, Dear Jake, would it be possible to add witty text when trying to swim back in the volcano maze without making a move? I would assume there was a reason if it hasn't already been done. We didn't do anything like that, did we? Like if you jump into the lava and swim back without having made a single move?
I don't know. I've never tried that.
RDFM wrote, Hey guys, etc. You mentioned last week filling a condom with heroin and tying off the end. Is there a way to do that without tying your dick in a knot? It's kind of uncomfortable.
I don't know. You're the expert. I don't have much to add to this one.
Parse says, a totally awesome recipe would be cooking a bottle of whiskey with flat dough to produce. And before I read the rest of this, I think maybe he believes that the sandwich G-Y-R-O is pronounced gyro, because he writes whiskey in the gyro, because that sounds like whiskey in the gyro, but whiskey in the gyro does not sound like whiskey in the gyro, really. It's still kind of funny. Stupak 2 wrote, I think the baby bug bugbear is my favorite item of the month in a while. Nicely done. Well, thanks, Stupak 2. Casey Wiederman says, Jake, you seem to think that the Bandersnatch niche is free runs. I see much more utility in the amazing augmentations, and heck, that it's a tunable volleyball. Plans for the like? Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like we should probably eventually do something about the fact that that is a thing that is, like, super essential for speed runs and is, you know, crazy unavailable. You know, I mean, if it ends up being something like the... Because, I mean, we reintroduced the equivalent of, like, the Bugbear Shaman, right? So, you know, we'll think about it. And when we do, we will consult with people who understand better than I do what the actual value of the Bandersnatch is, right? And try to, you know, try to compete with it without making it so having both means you're twice as good.
Yeah.
Vorthok says, how about allowing us to collapse the logs for a particular clan dungeon? That seems like the kind of thing that is a good idea to do. I don't actually remember what the log screen looks like, so not entirely sure how that would play out, but I don't know. Moxious Mouse says, could the with a fly in it recipes be removed from the slash mix command? It's annoying to type out the whole name of cocktails with ice. That is also a thing that I could see requesting from Uncle C.D. Moyer, so I will make a note of that as well. Dara Trollkin says, may we perchance have the second most recent location visited under Last Adventure? That seems to me more the realm of a Grease Monkey script than the native game interface. I mean, you know, I could see it maybe as an optional thing that you could turn on. But then why just one, right? Like, why wouldn't you let the last five adventures? GreenN72 says, Dear Jake, what's your position on sending in more than one blue message to Radio Bugbear to send a complete message? Is it acceptable for a legitimate question / not ridiculously long? Yeah, totally. People do it all the time. We, in fact, the way that we read private messages in the Radio Bugbear script threads them together so that we cannot actually see where one ends and another begins if there are subsequent private messages from the same person. Urutsini says, can you make it so you don't unlisten to Hobo / SlimeTube when clan switching? I think that you only unlisten if you join a clan that doesn't have access to that chat channel, and that I don't really think has a solution, because it doesn't make any sense for you to be listening to a channel that you don't have access to is not a thing that makes any sense. Let's see. Applehat says, who heard there was an unannounced boa constrictor change. Is that fine for Mr. Store Familiars? Probably not, realistically. Basically, somebody was pointing out, And this had happened a time or two in the past, and it's like I just finally I felt like there was enough of a policy what do you call it when there's a prior in court, like a precedent. So yeah, the one of the things that the boa constrictor does is, or the feather boa constrictor does, is get meat out of the opponent, and it just gives you meat based on the familiar's weight. And people were like extending combat and tattering out of stuff to basically like be able to farm meat. And as long as the price of tattered scraps stayed below a certain amount, you could just get a bunch of meat for free. And granted, it was consuming a resource, and it's like, you know, a lot of the times we'll consider certain things an acceptable risk because they keep the market for free runaway items actually sort of, you know, it makes them to continue to have value as a commodity, right? But this was like, you know, in every other case where we have had a familiar that generates meat, we have just stopped it from generating meat after the 10th round so that you don't just extend combat indefinitely. And so we did that, and that, you know, that made this thing not work. It was, I don't know, it is technically nerfing a Mr. Store familiar, you know, 6 years after it leaves Mr. Store, which there are only, I am guessing that the number of people affected by that change is a number that you could count on one hand.
Yeah, I mean, and plus that was a familiar we did long before we started realizing and taking into consideration the effects of that sort of thing. Like that was before starfishing, I feel, was a thing that people did regularly. And
I mean, I feel like people still do.
Yeah.
People still starfish.
But like stasis and things like that wasn't something that had come up yet as something that we needed to keep an eye out for.
Right.
And so it makes sense that now that these sort of strategies are being used, that we would go back and fix something that is broken in light of that.
Yeah. Pablobonk wrote, regarding stop animation, it's very easy to take a series of stills and make them into a movie. The Adobe video editing programs do it, and they're easy to legitimately acquire. Oh, and how do you guys feel about... Oh, well, okay. So I think I found the camera that I want for doing stop motion stuff, I think, but it is a camera that doesn't exist yet. it's just a model that has not come out. There are plenty of digital cameras that have a time-lapse thing. I'm more concerned about time-lapse than I am about stop motion, sort of. Ideally, I'd have something that did both. But I feel like a video camera that did time-lapse makes more... or that did stop-motion makes more sense. Just basically a video camera that has, like, you know... I guess in this day and age, it would probably be a little Bluetooth thing to snap a frame at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah, a time-lapse camera... My concern is that it be a decent quality camera, it be fairly inexpensive, and that you be able to plug it into AC power, because I don't understand how you could do any kind of long-term time-lapse... without being able to plug the thing in.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't be able to do more than however many hours the battery would run. So, yeah, I don't know. That's the one question that I have about this camera. I wish that I just, like, knew somebody who knew of a good camera and could recommend it to me. Hey, maybe I'll crowdsource it.
Ooh,
hey crowd. Hey,
maybe the clouds can tell you about...
And how do you guys feel about Mafia having a single button to solve the lava maze, writes Popplebonk. Still worth that karma? I mean, we knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it was inevitable, really.
I have still never actually solved the lava maze.
I've been meaning to make a few more, and then...
Just to break Mafia?
Yeah, cool. Just every now and then throw one in, and then when I hear that Mafia has been fixed and it now takes that into account, I'll write another one.
Sweet. Also, says Pablo Blanc, I do the Nemesis in Hardcore all the time. You know why? Because this is a fun game. Remember, not everybody is an optimizer. We know. We know that not everybody is an optimizer. Last Chan says, Patchouli Incense Stick doesn't have an effect description. What you say? I'm gonna look at me a patchouli incense stick, and I'm gonna see what the hell you're talking about. Oh, weird. because it is not a potion.
Oh.
Wonder why I did that. Maybe at the time when I was adding potions, I couldn't do things that were both potions and combat items.
Could be.
Let's see. Yeah, there are like, basically, we sold like no feather boa constrictors, effectively, right?
Yeah.
Like it, there are so few of them in the game compared to like there are. You know, 1% as many of them as there are a lot of Item of the Month familiars. So, like, it's just not...
That was before people were regularly buying bunches of this Item of the Month just for investment purposes.
Hey, cool, you know how many people have Placeholder as a familiar? Zero. Do you know how many are of those are in Terrariums?
How many?
Zero.
Yay!
Yeah. It's pretty cool. Oh man, there's another one. There's another one that I have one of in my terrarium, and nobody else knows about it. So here, Spoon Man saying something that doesn't make any sense. He says, "I just want to thank you guys. I've been playing the game for 5 years. I don't play the game anymore." Okay. But I listened to your podcast religiously ever since Jick was on his own. Man, I was thinking about how bad those shows must have been when I was just doing it by myself.
I don't think I heard them.
Yeah, you didn't love me.
Sorry, I don't listen to the shows after we do them.
I don't either. Really,
I read the transcripts.
I don't read the transcript. I read the threads.
Yeah.
And if I see a misunderstanding about something in the transcript, then I'll correct it. But that hardly ever happens. Grimdell says, "Just a thought. If the pretentious artist buys rat whiskers, would he be interested in seal whiskers? He's too poor to afford good quality whiskers."
Yeah.
Art comes from suffering, right? And, like, you can't suffer if you're wealthy. And, so you can't be a good artist if you can afford good equipment. Which is why, you know, hobos make the best art.
Yeah. It's also possible that seal whiskers are too stiff and sharp. And would tear through the canvas if you tried to use them as brushes.
You could paint. You could maybe make some like Hunter S. Thompson style art with them, where you actually just use them to like stab holes in like stainless steel.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you know he would just like take sheets of steel and shoot them, and that was his art.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh.
He would then sell them.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much it would cost to get a hold of one of those because I wouldn't mind having one, but at the same time, I would probably not pay, you know, $10,000 for it, which is probably how much it costs. If not, way more. Now that he finally put a bullet in the most important piece of steel that he could have done. Maybe he was just trying to make art out of his fillings.
Oh.
It was actually just a statement.
That's terrible.
Tomato Bob says, "Regarding the R2-D2 voicemail transcription, that was just the first decent R2-D2 MP3 I found, so no messing around to make it translate as, 'Hey, Jick, that must be a Google thing.'" So yeah, they've got to be generalizing the voice interpretation based on other stuff that people have said.
Wow.
I have never found anybody with any other opinion than the transcript is fucking useless.
Yeah.
In every case.
Yeah.
Like, is this transcript useful? No or no? Cloudstrife says, "Can we see the skill names that a book would give us?" That is something that I've actually been considering doing, is generalizing skill books as a type of item. So that you could search for all skill books in the mall. Because, you know, that's the thing. Like, a new player could be a lot better off. I mean, there are a lot of like relatively cheap passive skills that you can get from books that you can buy in the mall for next to nothing, right? And like, why wouldn't a person do that? So like having a section of the mall that was like skill books. The trouble is like a throbbing rage gland is not a book.
Yeah.
Are you sure it was a throbbing rage gland, Peter? Are you sure it wasn't nothing? Johnzo says, "I just had a random thought whilst eating a Pop-Tart. How about a monster that in order to defeat it, you would actually have to eat and or drink it? Could be an interesting mechanic as it would require an adventurer to have some room in their stomach, or not be, oh, presumably overly drunk. We sort of already did that with the black pudding, right? Like, you have to eat that to fight it. And so, yes, I like that idea, Jonzo.
There's that that monster Krovax came up with that you have to skin it to kill it.
You have to skin it.
Yeah, he was talking about this idea for a World of Warcraft monster, I think, that you just had to use skinning on it over and over again because what it was just a giant blob of layers and layers of skin.
That's gross.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. He's kind of gross.
Krovax is kind of gross?
Yeah.
Yeah, he is kind of gross. He was, like, making out with dudes. That's gross. He's making out with gross dudes.
He was making out with dudes and doesn't afraid of anything.
Yeah. He really didn't afraid of anything. I think he had enough to drink that he clearly couldn't afraid of anything, even if he wanted to. Ah, good old Krovax. We love him. I kid. Severus says, so, Jick, I kind of had a dream about you last night. A romantic dream. Uh-oh. I doubt you wish for me to elaborate further. It was a nice dream, however. Well, good for you, Severus. ACM writes, here's a quote I thought you'd like. The burden of past work makes you feel like you can never change your mind. Joe Clark. Who the fuck is Joe Clark?
Sounds familiar.
Is he like Dick Clark's younger brother?
Is he one of those like...
Dick Clark's younger brother is infinity minus 1 year old. he's a writer. Is it Joe Clark? Joe Lewis Clark?
Joe
Frazier Clark?
Joe Lewis Clark Kent.
Joe Lewis and Clark Kent?
Yeah.
State University. No, Joe Lewis and Clark Kent State
of fuck. Grace Kelly.
Kelly LeBrock. fuck. Then he talks about reading aloud and stuff, and I still insist that nobody reads aloud. It's a bad idea. Artie Upham says, hey guys, love the show. I think he meant public health. Don't alter the game to suit vocal, ungrateful complainers. The game is for you guys at Asymmetric. I'm just glad you let me play it too. I've donated literally hundreds of dollars to the game, and I feel your obligation to me or any other donor is exactly nil. Just keep making a game that you love, and I'll keep on playing it. Take that, angst!
Woo.
Oh man, angst just got fucking pwned.
That's right. Took to school.
Disco Daryl says, hot stuff, don't feel bad. That April Fool's prank you played on Jick was fucking hilarious. Yeah, no, it was great. It was really great. Hell Demon linked to that 90-minute Attack of the Clones review and says, it's thorough. No, wait, he didn't say that. That's the name of the article. It's pretty good. Tatter says, on an earlier radio show, you mentioned the word hidebound. By the definition you've given, wouldn't that make Jews hidebound? Lol, and are all humans earthbound? All humans are playing earthbound, which is cool. They went to Oneville and Twoville.
To it.
Threeville.
No.
Fourville. It. Wasn't it like Threed?
Yeah, was it was Threed. I don't remember what two was.
That's kind of funny. Anyway. And are all lost dogs homeward bound? And are slutty, kinky chicks just bound with rope? Tatter, you need to stop it. Do you have any advice, Riff, for helping Tatter stop it?
No.
You're terrible at improvisation.
I really am, yes.
Captain Toaster Pants says, toilet paper guys stuffing your head in a toilet isn't stench or at least sleaze damage. No, there's listen.
Clean toilet.
Would we write a joke about putting your head in a toilet with poop in it? No, we wouldn't. We maintain a higher level of discourse than that.
That's right.
Let's see. Farchild says, hey, I had zero adventures left, used a Bricko bat, used my first software glitch of the gay, text said I gained an adventure, killed the glitch bear, lost an adventure. Feature? Working as deviously intended? Sorry, not gay. Day. I was talking with Kev Bob, and it slipped. Freudian slip. greater than period. I don't know what that greater than sign is for. Maybe it was supposed to be one of those shifty eyes things.
I'm confused.
Right. So the software glitch will give you an adventure. Yeah, I mean that I definitely understand why that happened, right? So the Bricko things you can fight without it taking an adventure, so you can fight them at zero adventures. The software glitch gives you an adventure, but then somehow you lost it at the end of the fight. I don't know.
Huh.
Oh no, you used it. It turned the thing into a bugbear, which then killing the bugbear, it's no longer marked as a thing that you get to fight for free. So it took away the adventure that he got from the glitch.
Weird.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're no worse off, right? I mean, you can still fight a Bricko monster. Yeah. Okay, that's... I had totally forgotten what the software glitch did.
Yeah, me too.
Terrible says, oh my god, I'm playing Katamari Damacy in KOL with the zero-day quest.
Man, we should have had the bug bear dropping software glitches.
Well, no, because it's like a pickpocket-only item from bug bear, right? Like, it's fairly hard to get. Pobblebonk says, dollars just about at parity. Any love for Mr. A? I thought that Hot Stuff said he upped it the other day. But I don't know. What is the Mr. A at right now? Look! If only there were a way for me to look at that. No, it's at 15 now. So, yes? Yes. Any love for Mr. A? Yes. When did that come in? Oh, today's the 8th? Crazy, man. Porcine says, I know the Traveling Trader stuff is finalized, but a perfect skill for Disco Bandits would be a reverse Eye of the Stoat, reducing enemies' crits and increasing their fumbles. Love the show. Huh. Tom93 writes, these antique mini-quests are awesome. Thank you, Tom93. I was pretty happy.
Yeah.
Death Sausage says, thanks for giving me at least a little time to dupe a pile of bananas. Yes, we have no ability to dupe a pile of bananas anymore. That was a little too powerful. Hot Stuff believes that it's still too powerful in its current state, and that we need to like limit the number of times that you can use it in one instantiation of the map.
I mean, well...
You know, it just depends, like, right? Because with something like... I mean, it's really only relevant with bananas, right? It's like, if it's the kind of thing where you can do this thing where it's like, all right, if I use, you know, 1,000 meat worth of tattered scraps, I can get 50,000 meat worth of bananas out of it just indefinitely.
I suppose, yeah.
Right? Then, I don't know. I mean, I honestly don't know how to feel about that.
But, I mean, all that does is... It makes tattered scraps expensive and bananas cheap.
Yeah.
We've never really cared about the mall that much before.
Right, but I mean, we do, like, there are things that are in limited supply that I am pretty fundamentally against increasing the supply of, right? Which, not explicitly because of the mall, but because I think it's interesting.
You know, Maybe we should just remove bananas from it altogether, then. Because that's the only fruit that exists limitedly like that.
Well, maybe we'll do another fruit, though. You know, you never know when the Traveling Trader might bring another fruit.
True.
Did we do the bananas when we were in England?
I don't remember.
Boy, good old England. Remember that?
Yeah. England was cool.
What was the name of the pub? Was it Duffy's?
That
seems like the name of a pub.
That does sound like the name of a pub. I think you might be right.
Good old The Pub.
Yeah, good old The Pub.
Good old England.
Yep.
There was that place that had those sandwiches that were delicious.
Yep.
I think Hot Stuff finally convinced me to go to Germany with them this summer by reminding me about some sandwiches that I had forgotten.
Dorners?
Yeah, Jesus. The fact that if I go to Germany for 2 weeks, I can probably eat 20 donut kebabs. God, they're so good. And why can you only get those in Germany? Why?
I don't know, man. Nobody else seems to have figured out the magic.
And I guess Hot Stuff is also trying to get me to go to some really awesome farm in Switzerland, where it's like, look at that cow. That cow is sweet. Look at this cheese. This cheese is fresh. Look at those mountains. Those mountains are sweet. I was trying to think of something else that might be fresh. Look at that different kind of cheese. That cheese is fresh!
Look at the dung everywhere.
Oh, sure. Look at the tracks of our quarry. Those tracks are fresh! God damn it. I fucked myself. Look at the Capri Sun our quarry dropped. That Capri Sun is sweet. I totally ruined the flow of that joke by not being able to think of the name of Capri Sun, but it wasn't going to work if it wasn't Capri Sun. God, it is hard being me sometimes.
You have chosen a long and difficult path.
Poor Sign says, after all I've done for the council, they'd so soon be rid of me. Thanks for introducing me to MC Frontalot. Awesome! We've introduced somebody to MC Frontalot.
Well done.
That means the promotion was a fucking success, as far as I'm concerned. God, that album is good.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to listen to it on the way home, because I'm thinking about it now. Bulletproof says, are you able to comment on your involvement in Turquoise Thursday? No comment.
What?
Riff's comment is, what? Foggy says, strawberries aren't fruit. Yeah, you didn't get the memo.
Yeah, they're a kind of insect.
Oh, right. I guess they only sent it to important people. Yeah, they changed it, right? And, all the cool people found out. And so it's like basically like we got these instructions about how to properly make fun of people who don't know that they changed strawberries from fruits to bugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, haha. I forgot. Do you have a copy of that memo? I need to reread it to know how to make fun of Foggy.
No, I shredded it.
The one thing that I need to make fun of Foggy for is not drinking enough beers with us or responding to a text message that I sent like a year ago. what happened to Let's Do Pub Quiz All the Time, Foggy? What happened to that, man? What happened to China? China used to be cool. Inspector Gadget says, so what do y'all think of MC Frontalot's song, The Council of Loathing? You guys must be proud to be glorified in such a hilarious song. I prefer to describe what has been done to us there as being glory hold.
I don't.
Oh, yeah?
No. I'm satisfied with glorified.
Lord Stefano says, fruit golems should semi-rarely give you their cherry. 160 to 200 turns is plenty of time to get to know you first. That's pretty funny. Ash Ketchum 123 says, did anyone finish the new quest yet? It was alarming how quickly people finished the new quest.
Yeah, it was like first half an hour, and it was done, I think.
Yeah. Yimprat 721 said, can we get an Abhorsen trilogy reference area for the next limited supply antique? What is an Abhorsen trilogy?
I have no idea.
Do you know what that is? You don't know what that is? Why did I ask you a question that you had answered
in the
utterance before? Is that like
some kind of exercise machine that you buy off an infomercial?
I think maybe it's like, it's like maybe, you know, like the stuff that you do to make your abs stronger is like, you know, ab work. And then when you're just like fucking around with them, it's
okay.
Abhorsen. Like you're abhorsen around.
That makes sense.
You know,
I'll
like
buy that.
Ab grabassin. getting up to some ab jinx. Abhorsen is a fantasy novel by Garth Nix, first published in 2003. Well, party on, Garth Nix. We don't know anything about that, so we can't reference it.
Nope.
Yeah, eventually we're going to not be able to do our jobs anymore because we won't have read anything that came out since we started doing our jobs.
We'll run out of pop culture and won't be familiar with any of the new ones.
Goldest says, why is a black plastic oyster egg white? You know, maybe if you weren't such a racist, you would understand. Plastic Maniac says, the trophy arrangement feature is nice, I guess, but having the same function for managing display cases would be excellent. Yeah, that'll be a thing that eventually people will do whatever with the thing. C.D. Moyer will eventually get tired of hearing people whine about that. Tiny Plastic Grimmy says, thanks for the new content. One bit of curiosity. The A Dance Upon the Palette is a quest item, but the other cooking/cocktail crafting items aren't. Was there a reason for this? It was entirely narrative. I didn't want you to be able to... since it was a taste on your tongue, but it needed to be an item because of the way the quest worked, I didn't feel like it made any sense for you to be able to send it to somebody else or put it in your closet. So, I mean, you know, like, if one of the things that we, like, if we eventually implemented a quest with, like, say, like a ball sack parasite, that it's important that the ball sack parasite be an item, we would probably just make it a quest item, whether it made sense in terms of design for it to be a quest item or not, because if you've got a parasite in your ball sack, the last thing that anybody wants is for you to, like, hand it to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've found out the hard way that you can't just put your ball sack parasites in the closet and forget about them. It doesn't work. And you also, it's a bad idea to put them in a display case for other people to see. And they also vanish when you die. Fred Levi says, is it ironic if I listen to you talk about how podcasts shouldn't be played at double speed, at double speed? My drive was just about over, so I sped it up to finish just before you started talking about it. Nah, I mean, it's kind of a funny coincidence. Fred Levi says, is it ironic if I listen to you talk about how podcasts shouldn't be played at double speed? My drive was just about over, so I sped it up to finish just before you started talking about it.
Oh, that was quite good.
Fred Levi writes, is it ironic if I listen to you talk about how podcasts shouldn't be played at double speed, at double speed? My drive was just about over, so I sped it up to finish just before you started talking about it. You have to play that one at quadruple speed.
Did you see Yahtzee's April Fool's Day thing?
No, I didn't.
He did a little video, you know, in the same usual style, of him reading some classical poem that I didn't recognize very slowly.
Huh.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
Gildesh says, will there be more radio with Jake for people in other time zones? Grits from Holland. Oh, man. When I'm in Europe, I am totally getting some grits from Holland.
To get some grits, yeah.
Yep. I bet their cornmeal is extra delicious over in Holland. Well, you know, the thing that you do is get it from the podcast. Although you're probably not listening, Gildesh. So I'm sorry. Trebucheting says, can we see more minus monster level buffs? The difference between plus monster level and minus monster level buffs is considerably different. Well, yeah. Minus monster level is such a... I don't know, you know, like, how do we want to approach this, the thinking about this, right? Plus monster level is arguably more niche, although I guess you can say that everybody wants to get more stats from monsters, right?
I mean, the minus monster level stuff... Am I correct in thinking that the minus monster level stuff does not reduce XP?
It does reduce XP, as far as I know. De-leveling doesn't reduce XP. It used to, which was a weird oversight.
Well, maybe some minus monster level stuff that doesn't reduce XP would be a thing people would like and would use.
I mean, I just think of plus monster level as being more useful because you can level yourself so high that I just kind of thought of it as, like, why wouldn't you pile on monster level so that you can get more stats when you're just, like, back farming low-level areas, even for, like, a casual player who's just farming stuff or just, you know, fucking around wasting turns.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, minus monster level was the first thing that existed, right? I'm pretty sure. Or maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the Ring of Aggravate Monster was the first thing. That was where that mechanic got added. I don't remember. Death Eater says, question, will further quests be added for higher level players? Actually, will further quests be added for higher level player? yes. The quest for the several missing S's from your sentence. Yeah, we're working on all things all the time.
Yeah. I mean, we've got new C stuff coming out, and there'll be another clan dungeon eventually, I expect.
Yep. Istanbul says, can we have a comprehensive list of which monsters in the kingdom have nipples and which don't? I just need to know for reasons.
Man, that was weird. Somebody in chat They apparently got an assignment in their computer science class to try and find out as much about their teacher's private life as they could using only free resources on the internet.
Huh.
So somebody posted one of those sites where you type in a name and it gives all the public information on file for that person. And I typed in my actual name as it is on my driver's license, and there is somebody in town with that exact same name. He's this 19-year-old dude. I think he's a juggalo, and his username on MySpace is Nipples. And that kind of freaked me out a little bit.
Huh. That's pretty cool. Are you worried about identity theft? Why do you think he's a juggalo?
He had a bunch of ICP stuff on his MySpace page.
So, RDFM had posted to our Twitter this ICP video. I don't think I had ever heard an entire ICP song before.
Yeah.
But this one was them wearing these, like, white suits. Not really suits, just, like, white outfits. These flowing white outfits. Just singing about all the miracles that surround them in nature. And the reason that RDFM said it is worth listening to this entire song just for the line about magnets. Which, it's just him listing a bunch of things in nature that amaze him. And then the line, fucking magnets, how do they work? Which, And then later there's the line, magic is all up in this bitch. The fact that the Dark Carnival is Jesus. that culture is so fascinating to me. Like
people keep linking hilarious videos about them and stuff, but I just, my hatred of clowns is so deep-seated that I can't watch them. It just makes me upset to see the clown makeup.
I was talking to this girl we know who works for one of the companies that does, like, credit card processing for a lot of porn sites, and apparently there are some rules about what you can and can't have in the content on your porn sites, and the implication is that this company employs people who just look at all the porn on porn sites that use them as billing to, you know,
wow,
just like make sure everybody's 18, make sure. So one of the rules is that you cannot have any porn that features a rubber chicken because of the implied bestiality.
Whoa.
Which is weird. That's a weird rule.
That's
anyway.
Weird, yeah.
But I'm like, does that ever come up except in the context of clown porn? And she said, no. It's always clown porn. So, like, if there was, like, the hottest porn that you had ever seen, but it was clown porn, would you not be able to? Would you not be able to deal with it?
Never. No.
Huh.
Wow. No, that would be terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
What if? I mean, so do you? Did you play Arkham Asylum?
I have not yet.
I mean, no. So are you, say, in a picture of Harley Quinn dressed as, like, you know, the sexy
Harley
jester.
Quinn is kind of an unnerving exception. I dig Harley Quinn.
Right, so you do get boners regarding Harley Quinn, even though she's in clown makeup.
I don't know about
so
boners.
Clearly, okay, clearly, there's a threshold. Clearly,
yeah,
Riff,
okay,
every
there
man has his price.
So, okay, well, if it was
so
a dude,
super, super hot.
If it was a dude not in clown makeup, boning a really hot Harley Quinn chick, okay, I could probably deal with that.
Or I was imagining, like, two really hot girls in clown makeup.
Okay.
Right. So, I'm saying, you can't just be like, no clown entertainment ever. Because
no,
there are clearly going to be things that pierce that veil.
ICP clowns are scary clowns, though.
Well, because they're going to kill you, not... Like, that's the thing. Like, normally, like, a fear of clowns is kind of irrational because a clown is hardly ever going to kill you.
Right.
Right? Like, actually kill you. Whereas an ICP person, probably going to kill you.
Yeah.
You know, like, they will just as soon kill you as look at you.
But that's just what they do.
Yeah. I mean, they will just, like... You got to watch the Juggalo News Network video because it's pretty funny. Yeah. their correspondent, Murder Bitch. The names of people are just
great. I would I'm sure if I could find like a transcript of it to read, I would find that awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, you'd get basically the same effect, cuz it doesn't really matter what they're saying. All right, it's time to not be on a radio anymore, I think.
Yay, but, I get to eat dinner.
Thanks, Riff. Thanks, listeners.
Thanks.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Change the difference between what you want and what you need. There's a key, your adventure for today. What do you do between horns of the